Welcome to American Indian Living, a program developed by the Native Education and Health Initiative to improve and enhance the health of people throughout the Native communities. American Indian Living is hosted by Dr. David DeRose, a board-certified specialist in both internal medicine and preventive medicine. Dr. DeRose has a wide range of experience with Native health issues, and he's ready today to help you learn more about your health. Here's Dr. DeRose.
Welcome to American Indian Living. I'm Dr. David DeRose. We're launching into a new show on today's edition of American Indian Living. With me, sitting right across from me, is Dr. Keith Schleifer. Keith is a medical doctor. In fact, was even a classmate of mine in medical school.
We were classmates. Yes, we were.
It's great to have you on the show, Keith.
Good to be here, David.
Keith, you and I have done a lot of similar things over the years. Both of us have found ourselves working in intensive lifestyle change programs. You're doing that right now at a place called Eden Valley.
Tell us
a little bit about your journey, how it got you to the place you're at today in Colorado.
Okay, well, I went to medical school at Loma Linda University out in California and went into family practice residency and emergency medicine. And I also found myself lecturing in various parts of the world, former Soviet Union, helping people stop smoking, helping them to eat healthfully, to avoid heart disease, avoid diabetes, or actually even reverse diabetes type 2 and reverse heart disease as well. And then in the year 2000, a Cherokee Native American asked me to help him lead some camps to educate Native American children on how to eat so that they could avoid getting diabetes type 2. So
tremendous.
I did that several years.
So you were working with Native youth. You were talking to them, as I understand, about really traditional Native values, more of these plant-based foods, more exercise.
Exactly.
I know it's hard when you're working in prevention to see the results, but were there any things that encouraged you in working with that population?
It encouraged me to see that it was great going to camp with them and seeing them get active, playing basketball and doing sports such as you see at camp. And I remember them commenting back, you know, boy, it was great to go play basketball with the doctor, you know.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, you could see that given the opportunity, they did like to be active again, which, of course, is key to preventing and reversing diabetes type 2.
I mean, this is the real tragedy. Of course, it's not just a Native challenge, but youth of all ages, they're just not as physically active today. And so
That's right. We're
working with Native youth or youth from any other demographic, just getting them out and playing. I mean, it's, you know, some people are listening and saying that's public health. I mean, that's right at the heart of public health, isn't it?
It is. Yeah.
So you have this experience working with Native youth. You're seeing how things can happen in an intensive setting. It's in a camp setting. Did you have experience working with intensive lifestyle change programs around that same time?
No, I didn't. That was, you know, like 1 week a year, 1 week a summer, and then I was continuing to do emergency medicine as my main line of work.
Okay. Now, right now you find yourself in a very different environment. Some of my listeners may have even been on the campus of Eden Valley in Colorado. I have visited there. It was many years ago. Others have no idea about what happens there. So before you tell us about how you went from the emergency room to Eden Valley, tell us just a little bit about what Eden Valley does.
Okay. Eden Valley was about 1 hour north of Denver, right in the foothills of the Rocky Mountains, 20 miles from Rocky Mountain National Park. Beautiful place. And so what people do is they come and stay 2 weeks, and we call them guests. And our guests, depending on whether they're there for cancer or diabetes type 2 or heart disease or Lyme disease, different therapies, but the heart of the reversing diabetes type 2 and heart disease, for example, is getting on a whole food plant-based diet. So eating only foods that grow up out of the ground and did not have a mother or didn't fly or swim.
Okay.
And so just plant food and eating them as closely to the way they they grow. In other words, not processed, cooked. It can be salad, raw. It can be cooked. And we find that there's currently now over 800 studies linking animal foods with cancer, for example.
That's amazing. So basically, you come to a center that's been there for many years. I think I first visited Eden Valley, believe it or not, maybe my chronology is wrong, but I think I visited there shortly after we graduated from medical school in 1984.
Wow.
Have they been around there that long?
Yeah, sometime in the 1980s.
Okay, well, I think that's around the time I visited there. So they have this long history of helping people with lifestyle medicine, intensive lifestyle medicine programs, like you said, people coming there, living there for several weeks at a time. So,
well, two weeks at a time.
Okay, yeah. Okay. So this is not typically where we find emergency medicine doctors.
Right.
So how do you go from an ER doc to an intensive lifestyle change doctor?
Well, I've always been interested in my own health, and so I've been plant-based, you know, a whole food plant-based. Some people would call that vegan, but you could eat potato chips and fake cheese and drink beer and be a vegan and be very unhealthy and have diabetes and heart disease.
Fair enough. So
I've been very interested in a whole food plant-based diet for myself, my family, my three daughters, my wife. For example, my three daughters have never eaten meat in their life, and they're all three lifeguards, you know, not professional lifeguards, but they're active people and have children and leading healthy lives. And, you know, so many Americans have this concept that, you know, if you don't eat meat, where do you get your protein? Or how can you be healthy?
And your kids did just fine.
They did fine. Consider the elephant. The elephant is a vegan.
Okay, fair enough.
The gorilla is a vegan. You know, they get protein is in everything. You know, even 4% of the calories in watermelon is protein. So eating a wide variety of plant food, grains and nuts and vegetables, some fruit, you'll get plenty of protein. You'll get essential fatty acids in the proper proportion to keep the body healthy.
So you've been eating a diet historically, your kids are raised on it. You're still working in the emergency room, though. And at some point, did this opportunity open up to go to Eden Valley, or did you just say, hey, I want to get in there and train people to do these things, keep them out of the ER? What was your motivation to make the switch?
Well, in 2015 or 2014, Eden Valley called me. They had heard about me from their board chairman, and they gave me a call and asked me if I would come be the medical director there.
So and probably offered you a lot more money than you were making in the emergency room. Is that safe
actually,
to say?
No, it's yeah. I really don't get paid. They do give a stipend. I can go and work 12 hours in the emergency room and make more than I make in a month at Eden Valley. So it's kind of like a volunteer position.
Now, to me, this is significant because what you're telling us is that this is not just a commercial endeavor of yours, but this is something that you have a passion for, that you're willing to really invest your time, your financial resources, your earning capacity to do it. You've been doing it now there at Eden Valley for about 5 years. Is that safe to say?
Yes.
If you've been there that long, you obviously are not regretting it.
I'm not looking at quitting anytime soon. I'm going to be there, you know, numerous years because it's rewarding. It's rewarding seeing people come and get better. We've seen people get off their insulin in 3 days.
Wow.
Seeing people get off three, you know, different high blood pressure medicines
in just the course
a couple
of
months.
Really?
Well, you know, within the 2 weeks, we get them off one blood pressure medicine. But we heard back from this gentleman, and he was off all three, including very powerful hydralazine, as you know, David.
That's a
big gun.
That's right. We don't usually just use that medicine willy-nilly,
It's very strong, yeah.
So that's tremendous. Now, I've heard a lot about Eden Valley from folks over the years. because not only are you treating these, what we would say, more conventional lifestyle diseases where we'd say, yeah, clear connection with heart disease and lifestyle, clear connection with diabetes, high blood pressure. But when we start talking about cancer, most people would say, well, yeah, lifestyle has a big role in causing cancer, but more controversy about treating it.
Right.
So you're using some of these lifestyle measures as well as other things to try to help people who have cancer. Is that true?
That's correct. Yeah. A lot of people, the majority of the people that come to us have cancer, mm-hmm. and they're seeking additional things to do. Maybe they've already had chemo, radiation, surgery, mm-hmm. and it's not worked.
Okay.
And they're looking for something
okay.
else, or they're in the balance and they're still looking for something mm-hmm. to do. And there's other people, David, that they just simply are refusing chemo and radiation, mm-hmm. and they're looking for something else. So we're there to help them wherever they are in that road, in that continuum of people looking for something additional to do for cancer.
So you've had these great results with diabetes, people with type 2 diabetes getting off their insulin, getting off their oral medications.
Right.
You had great results with the high blood pressure, people getting off medications, normalizing their pressure. What about in cancer? I mean, do you have some exciting stories there too, or is that a tougher condition?
It's definitely a tougher condition.
Uh-huh.
And when you talk about success, if you talk to an oncologist,
okay.
a cancer doctor, depending on what cancer, success can be going from 3 months of life expectancy to 12 months.
Uh-huh,
and
right.
and they count that as success.
Right, right.
There are a few cancers that we can count on the chemo and radiation curing pretty mm-hmm. reliably, but those are actually the minority of cancers. So we had one lady who had stage 4 cancer, and she'd had all the standard treatment and was coming to us, and she hardly drank any water at all. We had to spend a lot of time just getting her to practice on drinking 8 glasses of water a day.
Mm-hmm.
Part of our treatment is using fever to both weaken the cancer and to trigger the immune system to fight the cancer. So back in the flu epidemic, uh-huh. 1918,
okay.
there were people with cancer who ended up getting flu, fever, and their cancers just went away.
Really? Is that well documented?
And, that's well documented.
Really? Yeah. Interesting.
So the study was done at MD Anderson mm-hmm. using fever treatment back in the 80s, late 80s.
Mm-hmm.
The Germans have used fever treatment to treat cancer. So that's one of them, in addition to diet and exercise and getting enough sleep.
So basically this hyperthermia, this artificially raising the body temperature, how do you do that at Eden Valley?
Okay, well, we kind of have a lay term for it. It's a fever bath.
Oh, okay.
So we'll put them in, we'll monitor them. You'll be in a tub up to your neck in water that's very hot, hotter mm-hmm. than a jacuzzi.
Okay.
It's about 110 degrees.
110
Fahrenheit.
Degrees.
Yeah. And then our goal is to bring the body to 104 degrees.
Uh-huh.
At least for 20 minutes.
Okay.
And then we're while we're doing that, we're monitoring your oxygen level, your blood pressure every 5
uh-huh.
minutes, your
uh-huh.
your pulse every 5 minutes. We keep ice on the neck
mm-hmm.
while you're coming up to temperature, and then once you are to temperature, we put ice also on the head.
Uh-huh.
So we're keeping the head cool. And so anyway, David, I tell you, we don't give the glory. When people are healed, we don't give the glory to any certain thing, the diet, the
uh-huh.
fever. We give glory to God, the Creator.
This is exciting stuff. I know there's folks who want to learn more about this. We have got to step away for a break. We're talking with Dr. Keith Schleifer. Keith is the medical director at Eden Valley Institute in Colorado. We're going to come back for another segment here at the ASI International Meeting. Don't go away. More to come. Cancer, other chronic diseases, things you can do that can make a difference. We will be right back after this.
Today's broadcast has been pre-recorded. However, if you have questions about today's show or would like further information, please call 1-800-775-HOPE. That's 1-800-775-4673. We'll be right back after this.
This is Betty White. I know you don't need one more thing to worry about, but listen. High blood pressure can cause kidney damage, blindness, heart attack, stroke. And you can have high blood pressure even if you feel all right. 1 in 7 adults has it, but it's easy to get your blood pressure checked, and you can treat it if it is too high. So don't worry about it. Don't ignore it. Just see your doctor and check it out.
For your free booklet, visit the Will Rogers Institute at wrinstitute.org and find us on Facebook and Twitter.
Emergency medical unit, respond to 102 Maple Avenue, possible stroke victim.
When stroke occurs, you have 60 minutes to win or lose the race of your life. There are new treatments, but you must get to a hospital fast. If you suddenly feel weakness on one side, have trouble speaking, walking, or seeing, it could be a stroke. Call 911. Get to a hospital. Because how you spend the next 60 minutes could determine how you spend the rest of your life. Stroke. Know the signs. Act in time. A message from the National Institute of Neurological Disorders and Stroke.
If you receive disability benefits, keeping Social Security informed is key. Keeping us informed minimizes the chance that we learn about something later that could negatively affect your benefits. That's the surprise no one wants because it creates overpayments that you must repay, disrupts payments, and can even jeopardize your entitlement to Social Security benefits. Learn more about reporting responsibilities for people working and receiving disability or SSI benefits by reading our online publications, Working While Disabled, How We Can Help, and How Work Affects Your Benefits at www.socialsecurity.gov/pubs. Some changes can be reported online at www.socialsecurity.gov. You can also notify us at 1-800-772-1213 or contact your local Social Security office. Our goal at Social Security is to pay you the right amount on time every month. With your cooperation to keep us informed of changes, the likelihood of any unpleasant surprises that could derail your benefits will be greatly minimized.
You're listening to Dr. David DeRose on American Indian Living. Your comments and questions are welcome. Call now at 1-800-775-HOPE. 1-800-775-4673. Here again is Dr. DeRose.
Welcome back to American Indian Living. Dr. David DeRose here from ASI in Louisville, Kentucky. We are speaking with Dr. Keith Schleifer. Keith is basically making a huge difference in Eden Valley there in Colorado, taking people through intensive lifestyle change programs. And as we stepped away, he's mentioning that he's not doing this on his own. Of course, he's got a team, but he is seeing the hand of the Creator helping in all of these things. Keith, you know, as you were mentioning that, and as we slipped into the break there, I've been interested over the years how many First Nation peoples here in this continent, Native Americans, had some type of esteeming of hydrotherapy or heating treatments. Now, some people would say, well, these weren't always used in conventional healing practices, but whether it's the sweat bath or sweat lodge, whether it's hydrotherapy treatments that I've read about in Eastern tribes using application of hot and cold water, there is this kind of cultural wisdom in Indian country about using heat and even cold in treatment. So I think it's very interesting to our listeners if they know maybe some of their own tribal traditions. And I'm always interested when I'm traveling around the country to hear from different tribal backgrounds how people use some of these natural agencies. So you were telling us about the cancer regimen. You were telling us about the fever baths. There are also other elements, of course, that you're using, and it's all in the context. You're going to tell us about this woman with stage 4 cancer and how she fared. So you got us kind of on the edge of our seats, at least figuratively,
exactly,
as you're telling the story. So tell us a little bit more about the regimen and then how this particular woman did.
Oh, so So the regimen you could sum up with an acronym called New Start. New okay. is for nutrition. So for that's the plant-based, whole food, plant-based diet.
Uh-huh.
E for exercise.
Okay.
W for water.
Mm-hmm.
And that's drinking enough water and then also using water therapy on the outside, hydrotherapy, saunas or steam baths as well. S for sunshine, getting mm-hmm. enough sun, which gives us vitamin D. And vitamin D, we found out, is so much more than strong bones. It's like a, it's really a hormone. It affects mm-hmm. blood. Mm-hmm. It can help blood pressure, can actually help prevent diabetes type 1 and 2 by boosting the immune system. Is how it helps prevent diabetes type 1.
Mm-hmm.
But vitamin D, getting your vitamin D level up is a potent way of stimulating the immune system, reduces your risk of cancer,
mm-hmm.
And can actually help prevent, help treat cancer.
Okay.
So that's the New Start, S for sunshine, or supplementing with vitamin D3.
Mm-hmm.
T is for temperance or avoiding things that are definitely harmful, like mm-hmm. tobacco and alcohol. And then the things that are good for us, using those in just the right amount.
Mm-hmm.
For example, it is possible to drink too much water. If you drink
2 gallons
of water every day, you're going to dilute your sodium level, your salt mm-hmm. level. A is for fresh air. R, very crucial, is for rest, getting
okay.
enough rest. People who average less than 6 hours of sleep a day die earlier, younger, of
wow.
all causes.
Wow.
And then T is trust in a divine power, having a relationship with our loving creator
mm-hmm.
who actually came to this earth to show us how much he loves us. And so trust, getting rid of stress.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's all part. It's 2 weeks of practicing all of those 8 things.
Now, folks who've listened to American Indian Living over the years have heard of New Start before, because it's not just Eden Valley that uses this approach. Of course, we've featured Weimar Institute on the show before, and Weimar actually is the one that kind of trademarked that New Start approach. But
that's
something
right.
you were using before, you know, and people have been using before the name
right.
was trademarked.
Right.
Here's the interesting thing to me, Keith, as you're sharing this. You've been telling us about things that people have had access to for centuries. Native Americans have used all of these elements for centuries. And what we often hear about indigenous cultures, I was speaking with Dr. Robinson on an earlier show here at ASI, who's been working with the Chamorro people in Guam. And he was talking about these very same chronic diseases that you're treating at Eden Valley. And he was saying the Chamorro people didn't have those before the Western lifestyle was brought to Guam. And, you know, he included cancer in that
didn't
list.
Didn't have those chronic diseases.
Yeah, yeah. Right. So we're coming back now to the story, because
okay. yeah.
we've got a woman, and just for the benefit of the listeners, they often, you know, hear things, stage 1, stage 2, stage 3, stage 4. Mm-hmm. To make it easy for a layperson, what does that mean?
Okay, stage 4 means she had colon cancer. Stage mm-hmm. 4 means that it had spread to other parts of her body as
okay.
well, or at least it means that it was very big
mm-hmm.
and or had spread, whether locally to the next organ or maybe to a distant organ.
So she's in bad shape. The doctors, mm-hmm. the conventional doctors, have sounds like they pretty much gave up on her.
They had.
And now she's in Eden Valley. No one's going to fault you for using whatever natural remedies. They're going to say, hey, she got all the conventional therapy. The doctors have given up. I mean, they may have told her in so many words, go home and die. So she goes to Eden Valley. Mm-hmm. Now you're doing a bunch of stuff that, I'll just be honest with you, a lot of people are listening to the show, if they never heard about doing this kind of stuff,
right.
and saying, you know, why doesn't the woman just save her money, you know, give it to her kids, because she's just going to die. This isn't going to make right. any difference. Is that what happened?
No, she, number one, after working with her, she started drinking more water.
Uh-huh.
And she got her fever baths and, mm-hmm. and changed her diet drastically. And 3 weeks, 3 weeks later, she went for a scan and the cancer was gone.
Really?
It was gone. Doctors told her the cancer was gone.
Well, so how long ago was this?
This was about nine to 12 months ago, about a year ago.
And is she still cancer-free as far as you know?
Yeah, she's still leading the choir up in Estes. Yeah, she's still leading the choir and playing the piano and doing well.
Okay, so basically what you're telling us, and you're not the first physician that's been on the show that has told about some of these amazing lifestyle and natural approaches to cancer and how people can respond, but I know people throughout Indian country and beyond are inspired by these kind of stories. You wouldn't say, though, that this is a panacea. Anyone with cancer can come to Eden Valley and they'll be cured, right?
Correct. It's just, there's no guarantees. We can't predict who's going to respond or not. Mm-hmm. We've seen it happen always. In every different way, everyone seems to be benefited to some degree. One gentleman had a esophageal cancer, had to quit work. He was basically bedridden when he came to Eden Valley. He was able to get around. You need to be able to eat, and you need to be able to walk, basically, to come to Eden Valley. Because exercising and eating the right thing are crucial.
Uh-huh.
So at any rate, after 2 weeks, after a few days, he was going up and down the stairs much better.
Uh-huh.
There was a smile on his face. He was out of pain. When he went home, he felt so much better. Mm. He went back to work.
Wow.
And he enjoyed his work. And he did really great for 8 months. And then suddenly... took a downturn and died within a week or two.
Wow.
In other words, lived eight more months, very healthfully active with his family. His family were very grateful. Uh-huh. It's like they had him back again.
Wow.
For some months. So he ended up dying in less than a year, but he had his life back for 8 months.
Rather than going through grueling therapies and laying in bed the whole time.
Yeah, laying in bed, suffering the whole time. So we see people live longer. We see people feel better. We see some people cured, but not all people cured. It's not a panacea or anything.
Well, thank you for giving us hope when it comes to cancer. You mentioned, Keith, that there's other disease states you're treating. Before we go there, folks are saying, you've been talking about Eden Valley. How do I get a hold of Dr. Schleifer, or how do I, contact your institution? How do they do that, Keith?
Okay, the website is Eden, like Garden of Eden, so Eden-Valley.org. So Eden-Valley.org. The number is 970-669-7730.
Okay, I want you to give us that number again, and I'm writing it down as you give it. So it's 970, did I get that right? Area code?
Yes.
And then what's the rest of the number?
669-7730.
Okay, so, and the reason I'm going over this is because if you're listening and that went by too quickly or you're driving, call the station that's airing American Indian Living. The networks that air the show, they get information each week about the program. And they should have access to this number. 970 area code 669 and then 7730. Have I got it?
That's right.
Okay. And you would encourage anyone who's got cancer, heart disease, diabetes, high blood pressure, think about Eden Valley?
Other things, Lyme disease, rheumatoid arthritis.
Really? So these autoimmune diseases, they respond to?
Yeah, autoimmune diseases, correct.
Wow. Keith, we could get you behind the mic for an entire hour, but I know there's someone else waiting in the wings who wants to join me. So tell you what, if we get another chance this event at ASI, maybe we'll grab you again.
Okay. Well, it's a pleasure, Dr. DeRose.
Okay.
David, my friend from medical school.
Very good. Dr. Keith Schleifer joining us from Eden Valley Institute in Colorado. We've got more coming up. Another great guest. You don't want to miss it. Stay tuned.
American Indian Living will continue in a moment. If you have questions or comments about today's pre-recorded broadcast, please call 1-800-775-HOPE. That's 1-800-775-4673.
So, you want to be a hero. Here are some ways to get the job.
Shark!
Hunt down that killer shark. Or run into a burning house to save a kitten. Luckily, there's an easier way to become a hero. Call 911 if you see someone experiencing the symptoms of stroke, sudden weakness on one side, or trouble speaking, walking, or seeing. Stroke. Know the signs. Act in time. You'll be a real hero. A message from the National Institute of Neurological Disorders and Stroke.
Diabetes affects more than 29 million Americans. If left untreated, diabetes can lead to serious health problems such as heart disease, stroke, blindness, and kidney disease. Your family's health history can be an important factor in determining your risk of developing diabetes. The National Diabetes Education Program wants to help you and your family. Do all you can to prevent or delay the onset of type 2 diabetes. Visit yourdiabetesinfo.org to learn more.
You're listening to Dr. David DeRose on American Indian Living. Your comments and questions are welcome. Call now at 1-800-775-HOPE, 1-800-775-4673. Here again is Dr. DeRose.
Welcome to American Indian Living. I'm Dr. David DeRose. We are speaking more about things that can change your life. With me, another physician sitting across from me here at the ASI International event. It's Joyce Che. She's an MD as well as having a master's in public health degree. And she's been especially looking at a topic that is very much of interest throughout Indian country and beyond. That condition is autoimmune diseases where the body is actually attacking itself. Joyce, it is so good to have you here at ASI.
Thank you.
So, Joyce, tell us a little bit about your background.
Well, I am an ophthalmologist. Yeah. This is about my 16th year working as an ophthalmologist, and so I work full-time doing that. I was trained traditionally. I always had an interest in lifestyle medicine.
Okay.
I was doing a lot of health education and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I realized that when patients got really sick or people that I was doing health education with would come up to me and say, I have this issue and it was a real serious problem, mm-hmm. like cancer mm-hmm. or even autoimmune conditions.
Mm-hmm.
And they seemed to be doing all the right things that I didn't know what else to do.
Okay, okay.
And then I found myself having these issues.
Wow, wow. So let's get the picture here. So most folks that are tuning in, they understand an ophthalmologist is a medical doctor who specializes in the eye.
Right.
Okay, and the range of things you're doing from diagnosis to treatment, surgeries, cataract removals, the whole
Correct.
Range of things,
yes.
right? So you're a high-tech, highly trained physician, and you've got patients coming to you. Maybe they have eye complications from an autoimmune disease. That often happens,
Possibly,
right?
Possibly, yes.
Or I know with some of the conventional medications we use for autoimmune diseases, some of them
right.
can adversely affect the eye. We
yes.
might be sending them to the ophthalmologist.
Correct.
So you see these folks coming through
for
your
monitoring.
Doors. Right. And you're talking to them.
Yes.
And you're saying, wow, this person looks like they're living a healthy lifestyle.
Well, I had you know? Those issues.
Uh-huh.
And then like also, this was the other thing that was happening. I would counsel my patients.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them would make really very great changes in their lifestyle,
okay, uh-huh.
lose weight, stop
right,
smoking,
right.
these kinds of things. And I realized, you know, all, up until this point, I would feel really good about making a change in one or two people's lives.
Mm-hmm.
And then I realized if I keep going on the next 20 years doing this, I will still impact very few people. Because
mm.
many people would come back and they'd say, well, but you're the only doctor talking to us about this. And so I realized there was a combination of things. One was I was developing my own problems that I
uh-huh.
couldn't find a good paradigm
okay.
to help. Then number two, I was realizing that within medicine, it was limited in how much I could really make an impact
mm.
on people's lives. And so there were two things that were happening.
Okay. So autoimmune diseases are some that you mentioned. We spoke about it in general, but give us some specifics for lay people listening to the show. When we say autoimmune diseases, what are some diseases on that list?
So with autoimmune disease, I think that what people might be familiar with is like, say, rheumatoid arthritis,
okay.
psoriasis is a
okay.
huge deal,
uh-huh.
multiple sclerosis, lupus.
Mm-hmm.
These are all, you know, traditionally known autoimmune conditions.
Okay.
But what people may not be aware of is that most people who develop a diagnosis of autoimmune disease, it takes them years to develop the right kind of lab findings so that, you know, their disease gets serious enough that they become diagnosable.
Okay, interesting.
And along the way, it's just like this mysterious constellation of symptoms that people don't really know, like, what is it that you have?
Fair enough.
And that was probably me.
Okay, so you as a physician say, well, I may not fit a diagnosis of rheumatoid arthritis or lupus or maybe even inflammatory bowel disease.
Right.
But I'm not feeling right.
Exactly.
And so you had this motivation to try to improve your own lifestyle.
Exactly.
So what happened with this background?
Okay, I'll just tell you a little bit about my story. So in my 20s, when I was in medical school, I was put on a very powerful antibiotic. Are you familiar with covafloxacin?
Actually, I can gather what class of antibiotic it's in, but I don't think I've ever used it.
You know why?
Tell me.
Because it was taken off the market almost immediately.
Oh, okay.
Because it caused liver failure and death.
Wow.
And I was put on it because it was a brand new antibiotic.
Oh, my. Okay.
And, of course, when we get brand new things, it sounds really great.
Yeah, yeah.
And that antibiotic, after I took it, it just really wiped me out.
Wow. So it was a fluoroquinolone?
It was a fluoroquinolone.
Okay.
And you're aware that fluoroquinolones have a black box warning?
Yes, yes.
And are now, people know, they are associated with connective tissue problems. Mm-hmm. They are mitochondrial poisons. And there is a delayed response even. It will be progressively worse. Like for me, I developed progressive weakness.
And these, just for the benefit of our listeners, so more common drugs in this class would be things like Cipro or Levaquin and
right,
some of these that
exactly.
many people have been on.
Many people.
Yeah, yeah.
And many people are put on them on over and over, repeatedly, mm-hmm. for like urinary tract infections mm-hmm. and respiratory issues.
But you had one that seemed especially bad. It was so bad that even the FDA pulled it off the market in a short
exactly.
time. So you took the course of this drug,
right.
just a course, maybe a week or
so
something.
So naive.
Okay, well, we all live and learn, don't we? And
then
you immediately had problems afterward?
Immediately, like when I would take it, it would just wipe me out.
Wow.
It would cause me to have photosensitivity. And I just looked at the list of side effects and I knew, oh, it's a possible side effect. And but I just kept taking it.
Uh-huh.
I was a real good patient. And after that course of antibiotics, I just remember just feeling really like brain fog, wiped out. And I recovered slowly from mm-hmm. it. But in the years that followed, immediately I realized I was so weak. I would go water skiing and I couldn't get out of the water.
Wow.
I would look at kids, like my sister had a baby, and I would think, I hope I don't drop this child. You know,
wow.
I was that weak. And I just thought, I must be really out of shape. From just studying so hard, I guess, in medical school, and I just thought it was me.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I had no idea. It wasn't until just a few years ago that I was looking up fluoroquinolones. I just read something about these people who would take one dose of Cipro and they'd be on disability. Like just how badly it affected
them. Crazy?
There are forums for this now, and I realized what had happened to me. And over the years that followed, I developed other problems. Like I developed brachial plexus issues.
Okay, compression. So that's with the nerves going through your arm.
Yeah, uh-huh. So I had weakness, and I'm a surgeon.
Oh, wow.
I had, you know, then I started developing brain fog and...
Now help us out, because, you know, lay people hear someone say brain fog, and even physicians hear people say that. What does that really mean, brain fog? What are we referring to?
Well... In my case, it was just I could hardly think. I felt sometimes like I wasn't even there. I felt like I was watching myself sometimes.
Wow.
And in my case, I'm a pretty good surgeon. I would like to think.
Uh-huh,
not to
uh-huh.
like brag or anything
no,
like
right,
that,
right,
you know,
right.
But I've had people say, you know, I would really love for you to do my surgery uh-huh. after they watch me operate, right?
Right. These are other professionals.
These are my, you know, mentors, and they're
right,
like, you know,
right.
when I'm ready to retire, you can uh-huh. do my surgery.
Okay, well that's a pretty good commendation, I would say. Yeah.
So and it got to the point where I remember I went to a lab to learn a new surgical technique.
Uh-huh.
And I couldn't do it.
Because you couldn't remember the technique?
No, I couldn't do it. Huh. It was a more challenging way of doing things. And
uh-huh.
it was something that I had been able to do a year or two before in a prior lab.
Uh-huh.
And I just couldn't.
Wow.
And it caused me to have a lot of anxiety
about
my skills. And if I look back at things, too, my surgical times were much longer. Mm-hmm. You know, it just took me longer to do things.
Okay. So the surgery that would take 20 minutes is now taking 35.
Well, I do more surgery now. And okay. So, like, now it takes me, very little time.
Uh-huh.
It just, even in the last few years since changing my lifestyle and everything, I've sped up. My pain is so much better.
Uh-huh.
Like, my symptoms were severe pain, myalgias, which is muscle pain,
uh-huh.
a little bit of joint and arthritic pain.
Okay.
And, but the pain was huge. Like,
really?
it was just constant. And I couldn't tell anybody. I couldn't go to a doctor and tell them. I couldn't tell a colleague because nobody would understand what I was talking about.
She's just been working too hard.
Like, you know, why is she focusing on these things so much? Because if you're not experiencing it, you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just dealt with it.
So what I'm already appreciating about the story is I hear you saying, Joyce, that you're better, much better now than you were, and you've got our interest because you obviously changed something.
Right.
That's been responsible for you experiencing progress. Am I reading between the lines too much?
You're correct.
Now, the other advantage I have is that you're sitting across from me holding a copy of your book called The Autoimmune Plant-Based Cookbook.
Yes.
And its subtitle is Recipes to Decrease Pain, Optimize Health, and Maximize Your Quality of Life. And you and a co-author, Mercy Ballard, who's a registered nurse, wrote this together. So I'm gathering that this book includes some of the things you learned about how to improve autoimmune conditions for yourself.
Correct.
So how long ago was it that you started making these connections and began to experience improvement?
Okay, so in 2011, I was diagnosed with leaky gut. I was told that I had multiple food sensitivities. And so I eliminated a lot of foods. I started feeling better.
Mm-hmm.
2015 or so.
Now, let's just stop just for a minute, because leaky gut, we've heard the term before. I've even had people on the show who've talked about it, but a lot of people kind of say, oh, leaky gut, not a real condition.
Right.
How does someone diagnose leaky gut and what is it?
So leaky gut is a condition where the intestinal cells, rather than being very tightly adherent to each other, they lose those tight junctions, mm-hmm. as they're called. And now you have, instead of this nice barrier for, like, so that food, as it goes into your digestive system, it'll just, your cells will absorb the nutrients as they're broken down and digested. Now you have larger particles of food that might have access to the bloodstream.
Okay.
And you have toxins that might have access to the bloodstream. And you lose that membrane. It becomes more permeable.
So basically, instead of having a protective, intact intestinal lining where everything's got to be broken down into tiny constituents, now larger molecules are coming in, and presumably this can trigger allergies and autoimmune conditions.
Yes, and certainly inflammation and pain, and it can, I mean, your body might see a larger protein and think, well, that looks like my muscle. Mm. I think I'll go and get rid of that, and then it gets confused possibly and starts attacking self instead, and that's what autoimmune is, right? It's when your body gets confused and starts attacking self.
So how is a condition like that diagnosed? When you say you were diagnosed with it, what specific tests or how do they evaluate that?
There are a number of things that people can do to test for leaky gut, but one of the things that most practitioners will do is they'll test for food sensitivities.
Mm-hmm.
And the reasoning for that is if your gut is leaky enough, that you'll probably be developing these sensitivities.
Okay,
to foods.
Okay. So basically, you have this testing done. It's a blood test.
So there are different types. Mm-hmm. You can do blood testing. That's IgG usually. Mm-hmm. Some of it's IgA. You know, when we test for celiac disease, these are different types of antibodies.
Mm-hmm.
I also did stool testing, IgA stool testing.
Okay. We're going to talk more about your story. We've got to step away just for a couple minutes here. We're talking with Joyce Che. She's the co-author of the Autoimmune Plant-Based Cookbook, and she has a story about autoimmune disease healing in her own life. You don't want to miss it, and making those connections can save your life, save someone that you love in your family and your tribe. We'll be back with more on today's edition of American Indian Living. Dr. David DeRose, we will be right back after this.
Today's broadcast has been pre-recorded. However, if you have questions about today's show or would like further information, please call 1-800-775-HOPE. That's 1-800-775-4673. We'll be right back after this.
One day, I'll teach chemistry to kids.
I'm going to be an architect.
My dream is to be a chef.
At the U.S. Department of Education's Office of Federal Student Aid, we provide more than $150 billion each year in grants, loans, and work study funds, making higher education possible for anyone at any stage of life.
I can go back to college.
I can change careers.
I can make a difference.
Federal Student Aid, proud sponsor of the American Mind. Learn more about money for college at studentaid.gov.
Diabetes is a serious disease that runs in families. If your parents or siblings have type 2 diabetes, you have a greater chance of getting the disease. If you're African American, Hispanic or Latino, American Indian, Alaska Native, Asian American, Native Hawaiian or Pacific Islander, you also have a higher chance of developing the disease. The National Diabetes Education Program wants to help you understand your risk. Visit the NDEP website at yourdiabetesinfo.org for diabetes prevention tools, including the Family Health History Quiz.
It started off as a normal day. I felt fine when I arrived at the plant.
Ruth Junius's life was about to change.
Then I dropped my keys. They kept slipping out of my hand. My arm felt numb. A coworker asked me if I was okay, and I couldn't speak. I started to get scared.
Ruth was having a stroke. People around her weren't sure what to do.
They thought I should go home or lie down, but I knew something was very wrong. I wrote 911 on a piece of paper with my other hand. And someone called for me.
Because everyone acted quickly, doctors at the hospital were able to give Ruth treatment that started to reverse the symptoms.
Within a few minutes, I was talking again. I didn't know a thing about stroke before I had one. Now I make sure that my friends and family know all the signs of stroke so they'll get help fast if they need it.
No stroke. Know the signs. Act in time. Call 1-800-352-9424 for more information. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, National Institutes of Health.
You're listening to Dr. David DeRose on American Indian Living. Your comments and questions are welcome. Call now at 1-800-775-HOPE. 1-800-775-4673. Here again is Dr. DeRose.
You are back with Dr. David DeRose for our final segment of today's edition of American Indian Living. I am talking with another physician sitting across from me, an ophthalmologist, Dr. Joyce Che. Joyce, it's been great to have you on the show. You've been so open sharing your own life story, some of those real serious challenges, weakness, starting to question your professional competence.
Right.
And, I mean, this is a crisis for a physician.
Super crisis.
So what did you do? How did you get this diagnosis of a leaky gut, but where does that take you?
So, you know, the biggest thing for me was just the mental aspect of it, staying calm.
Okay, fair
you
enough.
Know, and trying to figure out what I was going to do to make it. Mm-hmm. And, one thing was my faith, mm-hmm. you know, just trying to figure out, like, what is my faith going to give to me? Uh-huh, how do I deal with all of this? And for me, the biggest thing was just trusting in God throughout it, mm-hmm. all of this, mm-hmm. and just saying, Lord, I know you have a plan for my life. I'm just going to keep moving forward, but please help me to find out what the problem mm-hmm, is. Mm-hmm. And I eventually, after the diagnosis of leaky gut, I did the elimination diet
okay.
that did improve things for me. But when I tried to reincorporate food, because I didn't know how to do this, a few years later, I started developing worse problems.
So elimination diets, familiar to some of us in medicine,
yes.
even many people in medicine get confused about this. But when I would do a very strict elimination diet, I would put a person on a total water-only fast and
okay.
then gradually add things back. When you went on an elimination diet, what did that look like?
So I had a blood test done by one of my practitioners, the first person. Mm-hmm. And so I just eliminated all the things that I could eliminate. And, you know, I had a very simple diet. I was eating like maybe oatmeal with greens and tomatoes. And, you know, it's very simple.
And these were all things that when you had your testing done, you were not sensitive to.
Supposedly, yes.
Okay, so all the things that showed up as red flags, you dropped out.
Right.
And now you're eating this very
right.
simple diet.
Right.
And you made improvement.
And I didn't even test positive for gluten at that time.
Okay.
But,
it,
you know, as I read more about it, I just took myself off of
okay,
it.
Okay, enough.
You know, the more that I would read, I would just think, okay, I'll try that too. Uh-huh. And it was just becoming kind of restrictive.
Okay.
So in 2015, I tried to put myself back on, like, say, organic soy,
uh-huh.
organic corn,
uh-huh.
and these types of things. And I found myself getting you know, worse problems. Like, okay. The pain was coming back. I was developing shortness of breath.
Wow.
And respiratory issues. If you have leaky gut, you're going to probably have other mucous membrane issues. And the lung is one of those areas.
So you made progress for a year or two? Is that
for
safe
a few years? Okay. And then 2015, I was starting to regress.
Wow. So what do you do at that point?
So I learned about the Years Restored Lifestyle Center from a testimony someone gave. And I thought, you know, that's interesting. This woman actually helped somebody who had autoimmune liver failure. She had had a liver transplant.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, how she helped this family, I just thought, that's intriguing. I'm going to go find out about this.
Wow. Years Restored was the name of the ministry.
That's what Mercy, that's her lifestyle center.
Okay. So the co-author of your book, Mercy Ballard, runs a lifestyle center.
She had her own issue with this whole autoimmune problem, and she started a lifestyle center.
And where is her lifestyle center based?
It's in Forbestown, California. It's like in the mountains.
I don't even know where Forbestown is, and I've lived in various parts of California. Where is that?
It's like 70 miles north of Sacramento.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so you went to this program?
I went there with very little, I didn't have any expectations because I thought, I've been to so many different lifestyle centers, and I'm pretty sure I've been on an elimination diet, I've been reading, I have a master's in public health.
Okay.
And I thought, I know a lot about nutrition. What am I going to learn?
Mm-hmm.
But I went because I thought, I'll see how somebody else does this.
Sure.
And she does 5 days of detox where you're drinking all these, you know, teas. You're drinking poultice drink, just like we do poultice for the external.
Uh-huh,
she does drinks that are supposed to coat the inner digestive system as
well.
So
they'd use things like slippery elm and stuff like
that?
They
had more like charcoal and clay and diatomaceous. She had some slippery elm and some of the herbal mixtures as well.
Uh-huh.
So for 5 days, you're just drinking and you're not eating. And you know what happens when you don't eat? You give your digestive system a rest. And on the third day of this, I woke up and went on a walk. And I realized that I didn't have pain.
Tremendous. Tremendous.
And that I was able to breathe. I wasn't having the difficulty breathing at night that I had. And, you know, that's what got me. I'd been to other places and it hadn't happened that way.
Mm-hmm.
So I just thought, you know, this is a real, I will do whatever it takes to keep this experience going.
Wonderful.
You know?
So you were able then to start gradually adding things back after this fast and this regimen?
Well, I added new things because on this diet, this is what we do. We recommend, we teach people why this is happening. You know, like autoimmune disease incidence is going up.
Right, right.
And so why is that happening? Is it because these diseases are just so bad? Or is it because our paradigm is wrong? What's happening, right? It's like autism, for instance. Autism is going up. They say in 10 years, if it keeps going up at the same rate, one out of two kids is going to have autism.
Wow.
And so either you're going to keep going and just see what happens, or you're going to try to look around and see what is happening and what am I going to do to change things.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, I just thought, you know, we were looking at what's happening with agriculture. You know, what's happened in the last 30 years with glyphosate, with GMOs, and the possible effects that those might have on the human system. Glyphosate, as you probably know, is
We're talking Roundup.
Uh-huh. It is patented. It was first a mineral chelator. They used it in the industrial pipe industry to clean out pipes. And then it was also patented as an antibiotic. So it'll wipe out the microbiome. And it's the most popular pesticide, of course, or weed killer.
And I know I've heard other people who are concerned about autoimmune diseases worrying about this compound. And do we have pretty good evidence that there is a connection? Or are we just trying to connect dots and saying this is a, maybe it's an innocent bystander, but the association seems to be pretty much of concern? How would you put it?
I think that's a difficult question in some ways because the research has not been required to be done, right? Because pretty much since it was released onto the market, we've said, oh, this is a safe product. So there's not really any pressure on the company to do those kinds of safety studies.
Right.
And the ones that have been done, maybe they're shorter term. But I think they're and whatever studies have been done are usually someone in the industry will say that what's wrong with that study, right?
Okay,
will criticize
fair enough.
And so I think, yeah, maybe I think with evidence-based medicine, you can find whatever evidence you want to for whatever side.
So let's make it practical. And you're basically saying, hey, there's a lot of these concerns here. You avoided all the GMOs.
We avoid high-risk GMO foods. Mm-hmm. We tell people about glyphosate and how it's sprayed on pretty much everything. Mm-hmm. And we also will soak and sprout your high-lectin foods to decrease the lectins, which can cause intestinal damage and increases nutrient availability. And we do have references for those in the cookbook.
Okay, okay.
We have 50, over 50 references in the cookbook.
So this is exciting stuff. You're experiencing benefits. You're back to your normal level or better than normal level of functioning. Is that safe to say?
I think I'm functioning much better than I have in 20 years.
Tremendous, tremendous.
Yeah.
And have you been sharing this with patients?
Oh, yes.
What kind of responses are you getting from patients when you share this stuff?
Okay, patients, I don't see a whole lot of patients in the clinic anymore.
Okay.
I operate pretty much.
Oh, okay, fair enough. Okay.
But I've had some patients when they find out that I've published a cookbook,
uh-huh.
they say, oh, I'm going to get that, you know?
Great,
and
great.
So I can share that way. I do more with like social media now.
Okay, fair enough.
And at the Lifestyle Center, I go to the Lifestyle Center and I help with some lectures and I try to help get the word out. That's why I wrote the cookbook.
Okay. So do you live in Northern California?
I live in Washington State. I fly down there.
Oh, okay. Okay. So if someone wants to get the cookbook, the autoimmune plant-based cookbook, how do they pick up a copy?
Amazon.
Okay. That's easy.
Amazon.
But they got to remember your name.
And they can go to drjoycechad.com. You can read my blog there about what it's like to go to the Lifestyle Center.
Uh-huh.
And we also have a group on Facebook. It's called the Plant-Based Gut Health Group.
Okay, and I'm trying to get this all. Be patient with me. So it's Dr. Joyce.
Chen.
Now, most people would pronounce it Cho the way it's spelled.
Right.
So spell this out for us. D-R, right?
Uh-huh.
Dr. Joyce, J-O-Y-C-E.
Uh-huh.
And then it's C-H-O-E.
.com.
.com, okay.
DrJoyceChad.com.
Okay.
And then on Facebook, you can go to my page, Dr. Joyce Chad, or you can go to the group, Plant-Based Gut Health Group. We have, I think, 550 members, and it's
wow.
growing every day. We try
Great.
To support people on this journey because I know it's overwhelming for
mm-hmm.
people. And so, like, at this convention, we brought all of our own food. We don't eat out
okay,
anywhere because
enough.
You don't know how people are prepping
mm-hmm,
the food.
Mm-hmm.
And so we bring our own food. We go to the grocery store, and, you know, we just make sure that we're going to have good quality things to eat while we're here. And we try to make it fun. So we take pictures and we post. And
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, very good. We have got to step away. You've been a great guest. And it's good timing because right now the announcer is saying they're trying to chase us out of the
okay.
exhibit hall. But
yeah.
before we run, we've got to just say one final thank you. And for those of you who need to hear it one more time, the Autoimmune Plant-Based Cookbook, Dr. Joyce Che. Whether I'm pronouncing the Korean last name correctly or not, it is spelled C-H-O-E. And if you can remember Dr. Joyce,
Che.com,
they'll come to your website. Joyce, thank you so much for joining
thank
us.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate
Continued
it.
Continued success in your work.
Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you.
Well, that's all for today's edition of American Indian Living. I'm Dr. David DeRose. Hopefully today's show has reconnected you with some of those traditional Native values that you've held in esteem for years. If you're not Native, hopefully you've realized the power of simple lifestyle changes. I'm Dr. DeRose for all of us, wishing you the very best of health.
This is Life Talk Radio.